He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Well, good morning, Vietnam. Here in Vernon, it is just an incredible, beautiful day. The sun is scorching down already.
It's going to be like 34 degrees today, apparently.
And for all the Americans out there, that's getting up into the 90s, the high 90s Fahrenheit-wise.
Yeah.
Remember that Canada is a metric country.
That's right, and all I can say is thank goodness for AC at times.
Yeah, it's good to have when you need it.
Nice to have. That's for sure. That's for sure. Well, I'm sitting outside right now in the backyard, and it's really quite nice, so there you have it.
Yeah, I went for a walk early this morning as well, and it's one of my favorite things to do early in the morning when it's beautiful outside, just kind of moseying around, looking around, and relaxing, just realizing how nice it is here in Vernon. What a nice little town it is.
Oh, it's lovely, and that's the best time to get up and get going, if you can get up and get going. Get up in the morning early, get your work done if you need to do stuff outside, because between the hours of like 11 and 3... even 5. I was walking the other day at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was scorching. I really thought I was going to die. I think I'm going to have to go to the store and get a parasol.
Well, you know what's very cool is that outside yesterday in the sun, I was soaking up some rays, and I thought, this feels just like I'm in Hawaii. It was that intense. It just goes right through you.
Yeah.
But also what's very cool is that stand-up paddle boarding is very popular here. At the Kalamaka Lake, they have even a championship. And, of course, that's a Hawaiian sport. So combined with the sun and the paddle boarding, sometimes I think I haven't left my land of paradise.
There you go, then. Isn't that great?
It's very cool.
Yeah, it is.
Well, let's get to our first topic, dear. This is SNU, He Said, She Said. What's cooking?
What's cooking is homemade pie crust. And I've always wanted to be a good pie maker. However, I just couldn't get the crust to work for me. This can be challenging, especially if you want to make a whole food crust. And there's many pie crust recipes available and on the market and frozen, using all different types of ingredients that are not as healthy as they could be. It's just a really matter of trial and error and getting the texture that you like. And I want to go as whole food as possible. So I picked some fresh raspberries and fresh strawberries from the garden and added some apples.
Which is completely awesome.
But you know, the neatest thing about it was actually picking the raspberries myself and picking the strawberries myself. I don't think it's strawberry season yet or it's over, but I did pick a handful of them anyway and added them in to the pie. But what I did was I used 2 cups of whole wheat flour. Now, that's for starters, so I'm going to try some different grains, but I'm started off with the whole wheat flour, and 1/2 teaspoon of sea salt, 1/3 cup of coconut oil cold, and 1/3 cup of butter cold, and then I mixed that all together, and then I added in the cold filtered water. And it turned out really nice, didn't it, Corey?
It was delicious, you know.
It turned out good.
The worst thing about conventional pies is the crust. Because it's made with white flour, a ton of salt,
and lard,
some kind of
margarine,
heavy, refined, processed, margarine or saturated fat. So it's ruinous to consume. And then the ingredients are usually loaded with sugar, and the fruit or whatever it is inside the middle is not often fresh from the apples in your backyard or whatever. So it's usually from canned fruits. And
they add a bunch of garbage to it. But anyway, then I made that, and that turned out pretty good. And it wasn't soggy on the bottom. Because I think there's a trick when you make pies, because I've seen some women do it. They put the pie crust on the bottom. They put a penny on top of the pie crust. Then they bake it just so that it won't get soggy when you add in the filling.
Yep.
I didn't do that. Now I'm on a pie craze. I'm making pies all the time. Right?
Well, that's good. That's why you're going to get good at making them.
And
only I can benefit from that process.
And even if it doesn't turn out, it's still okay to eat. I wouldn't serve it for company, but it still is okay. You and Mitchell seem to like it. Anyway, the second time I made it, I didn't use butter. I used all coconut oil. So that was like about 1/2 cup of coconut oil I used. And I put some cinnamon in. And that was nice as well. And it didn't go soggy on the bottom. So next time I think I might add maybe just a tad of honey or agave syrup, something like that, into the crust. The trick, too, is not to knead it too much because I think I can get carried away kneading it. This is all new for me. I've never made pie crust. Actually, I made it once many, many years ago. It didn't turn out. I think I pulled my shoulder when I tried to use the rolling pin. But anyway, I think I'm on a roll. Well, I am on a roll. Everybody's getting pie now,
yeah,
at least
no
for another
kidding.
Week or two.
Yeah, and it just proves my point, too, that from nature there's all kinds of material that you can utilize to make, for example, in this case, a pie. So you don't have to use a bunch of crap to make the pie. The pie can actually be a source of health food. It can
yeah.
be made of nutritious ingredients. People say, well, Corey, you know, that's a little extreme. You know, who cares if you just get a piece of pie in a restaurant? Well, I do. Number one, I don't enjoy it nearly as much as if when I know that it's whole. And I won't even eat it anyway. I won't
yeah.
even touch it. But when I know that it's made of wholesome ingredients from nature and it was made in the fashion that you put it together, I can enjoy it because I know in my head that it's actually nutritious and not detrimental. And, for example, after a workout, have a shake and then a piece of this pie with raspberries from the garden. I mean, you really can't go wrong with that.
Right, and then I use some honey to sweeten it up a little bit. And then what happens is sometimes there's too much juice, and it needs to be a little more glutinous, so you need to add something to thicken it up, which would be either an organic tapioca flour or arrowroot is what I would use. So I'm going to try and experiment with that. You can use flour to thicken and also cornstarch, which I don't want to use. So I'm going to try it and see how it goes because the blueberry pie was like a blueberry sauce, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was pretty
and
good.
Anything
wrong.
You put in, all you have to do is just research it. Go online and find out what it is.
Okay,
like
so
I was looking at some of these thickeners. There's agar,
there's tarragon,
there's pectin. But they're used in different ways. And through trial and error, you sort of come up with what it is that works for you.
Yeah.
I guess it's specific to the filling that you also use.
Exactly.
Some would need more thickening agents
exactly.
than others.
Exactly. And I'd also like it to be, I didn't want to use the dairy with the butter, so if I just use the coconut oil, and then eventually I'll go gluten-free, so it won't be the whole wheat that I use. I'll try some other things.
But yeah, that'd be interesting to create a gluten-free flour base.
Yeah. You need a lot of
different
flours.
Those that are
flours,
concerned
yeah.
about the gluten, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I'm working, and I'll let everybody know when that happens. But, no, it's been pretty cool. When I see my pie out, you know, I feel so... I don't know. There's something about making a pie, and I've always wanted to do it. So this is fantastic. I'm pretty excited about it. I just hope you and Mitchell don't mind being my guinea pigs.
Not at all, and I'm sure everybody out there wouldn't mind as well.
Great.
Here comes the pie.
Yay! Actually, you know, just really quickly... What I was searching for this morning was lemon meringue pie and also chocolate pie. But trying to get those fillings that are healthy as like a little trick. If you want to use palm sugar instead of white sugar in the lemon meringue, the lemon is going to be a little brown, not that bright yellow.
Right.
You're not using white sugar. So sometimes people don't like that. They want that bright yellow because it looks like lemon. So I'm really going to have to play around with that one. So anyways, I'm excited about my pie making.
You know, you just reminded me, too, now as a little boy, my grandma used to make me a flapper pie.
I remember that. I'm sure that wasn't a healthy pie.
And I don't even know what that stuff was. No. My grandma was using all the wrong stuff back then and didn't really understand the difference anyway. But anyway, she's still living in 96,
yeah.
So it wasn't all bad.
Nope.
But I think that what's obvious to me is that the roots of our existence all stem from a relationship to whole food. And so back on the farm and going back as far as you want to take it, people used fresh cream from their goats and their cattle, and they made dairy products. And the quality of everything back then was really superior. And plus, they also had to expend energy to get it.
Right.
They didn't just go to a store and buy it.
Exactly.
Like you were in the garden, you're picking raspberries, and you're connected to the food. And I think that a lot of people are not connected to their food.
Yeah.
And this is what causes a lot of problem. And they don't appreciate what it is they're consuming. They just shove it in.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
they're not really connected to it. They didn't see it get made, and they didn't make it themselves.
Yeah.
So people say, well, why would you want to do that? Because it develops a relationship. It's sort of a visceral intellectual sort of rational approach when you actually make the things that you were about to eat. That's why I like to make my own food.
Remember we saw that show about oxytocin that is released when you shake someone's hand?
Yes.
Well, maybe there's some oxytocin that's released when you make the food yourself and use your hands and eat it.
You know what? There's got to be. That Polynesian style, man, of just breaking bread, and when it's only accessible from nature, you can't really get in trouble.
Exactly.
It's the modern stuff that's getting us into trouble. Okay, that's great. So let's move on to our next topic. Who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Mr. Soren Korsgaard. Now, Soren is a CSNA master, which we're very proud of.
He certainly is now.
He certainly is now, and I really enjoyed his YouTube video. And it certainly is a different lifestyle in Denmark than here in North America. Wouldn't you agree, Corey?
It looks beautiful. You go on the map and look at Mors, this island up in northern Denmark where he lives, and then you do some research on the history of Denmark and the Danes, and it's a beautiful country. I definitely want to go there. In fact, Soren did mention inviting us to come to Copenhagen and attend and lecture at an event there that he's going to be involved with. So I do look forward to that, and then we could sort of tie that in with a European tour.
Oh, sounds good to me. Anyway, Soren does lecture around the country of Denmark about whole food, good health, optimum performance. It's also interesting that they offer free education in Denmark and the promotion of the new Nordic kitchen or the Stone Age kitchen with the principles of health in mind. Isn't that cool?
Very cool. You know, education should principally be free everywhere on the planet. It's one thing that we should make accessible. We have laws that force children to go to school, and public education is paid for by tax dollars. But at the higher level, you know, with college and different specialty schools, it costs a lot of money to go, and not everyone can afford it. And that's where the tax dollars should be put in. And, of course, my concern with the cost of education is that it's principally about management of buildings, physical buildings, and paying teachers and all of the staff that are associated with managing all the buildings. You don't need any of it. Essentially, I think that you can learn better in the privacy of your own home, and you can sign up and enroll in e-learning, webinars. The e-campus today will be the mainstay in conventional standard tomorrow, because all of that stuff's going to disappear because we can't afford to manage it anymore.
Well, this is another that's moving right into that. He made a remark on e-learning, knowing how to act in front of a camera. And this is what really excites me, is because that's what our master's project is all about, is be able to talk about what you need to talk about on camera and being effective and clear and being also presentable and people wanting to hear you, hear what you have to say, and, right, having good presentation skills.
Well, it's a preparation process. You know, our education program is about instruction and learning what the vitamins and antioxidants and botanicals and how they're made and managed in food and all the principles of health that relate to being a well human being. Mm-hmm. But now we've got to learn how to teach it. So
exactly.
This master's program is a documentary that the CSNA graduate has to prepare, then narrate it themselves, and they're going to explain to the viewer what it is they think that a person needs to get healthy and well. So they're actually teaching, and they're preparing for teaching the principles of sport nutrition course, which is what the idea is behind the master's program. You get your master's degree, you're a CSNA master, and now you download the PSN teaching program, and now you can start teaching that program to your own students and generate some revenue while you're doing it.
Right. There's nothing like a camera to show you what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong or what you need to work on. And I also use that with my students when we're doing our routines or dancing. We do a little video just to see how we're doing, right? It's a really good teacher just using a video camera.
Oh, they use this at professional sport level.
Yeah.
And when I'm in the gym, I'll sometimes take a video of my apprentice or student in the gym, and I'll film them while they're squatting or deadlifting. And you're right, there's nothing like watching yourself. Then you can see whether or not the execution of the material, the execution of the technique, is on the money or not.
Right. Another thing, just one last thing that he mentioned that excites the you-know-what out of me, was he mentioned that the universities in Denmark are commencing to teach the CSNA principles. in their universities in Denmark. Hello?
Yeah, well, then again, we're reminded of how the work that we're doing is making an impact on the world, slowly but surely, kind of inching our way. Of course, there's a lot of resistance, but
oh, yeah.
In other countries besides North America, there's less resistance.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking a country here, Denmark, where it's illegal to use amalgam fillings.
Yeah.
They know that mercury is toxic and poisonous. There are certain laws there that are conducive to human health and performance that we have yet to adopt and recognize because we have resistance to them by corporations and groups that stand to lose everything as a result of the movement forward towards better health for everybody.
Exactly. Absolutely. So that's pretty exciting, and I can hardly wait to go to Denmark whenever that
happens. Absolutely. Yeah, well, the world is out there. It's our oyster. It's designed to be consumed by humans.
Right.
Really. If you don't see it, if you don't get out, if you think that you know everything about everything and you've never been out of where you live, you really don't know what's going on because you can't watch television and documentaries on India and think you've been there and think you know everything about it. You've got to go there and live with the people and see it and feel it. And there's just nothing like that.
Exactly. Anyways, I'd like to thank Soren Korsgaard. Thank you very much for your special guest interview.
Absolutely. Okay, let's move on to our updates. What's cooking on the CHI updates?
Well, the CHI update. Ruby has not had her baby yet, but the baby's room is ready. Yippee!
Well, she's not due until July 28th. Of course, between now and then, any day is possible,
exactly.
Right?
I mean, that's just a guesstimation, right? So, you know, really, it is. We're within weeks. You know?
Yeah, and it causes a lot of anxiety in some women, especially first-timers. I think Ruby's issue is she's never delivered a baby, so she's obviously got that first-time anxiety.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, is it going to hurt? What's it going to feel like?
It's going to hurt. All of this is going to hurt.
Yeah, well, I keep telling her that she's designed biologically to deliver the baby, and what happens is that as a result of going into labor, there are absolute definite hormonal changes. You know, the system becomes more pliable, and it starts to open up for the process of delivery. It's a process that kind of bizarre and miraculous, but it happens. You transform in just a matter of a few minutes and hours into this baby delivering machine, and then once it's over and everything comes out, you kind of close up and seal it up, and then you're back to being so-called normal again.
Well, isn't that just lovely, Corey?
Is that what your experience was like?
It's so nice for a man to say that. Isn't that lovely?
Well,
yes.
It's just strictly a matter of observation, dear.
Absolutely. Anyways, I'm still dancing up a storm. And over the month of June, the gal who owns the studio, she was away in Ontario. She had a death in the family, so I managed the gym for 3 weeks. So I didn't hit the gym at all for the whole month of June, and I lost a lot of weight.
What a slacker you are.
I lost a lot of weight walking to and from the studio and teaching all day. I lost muscle, and I did lose some body fat. And yes, folks, I do have a little body fat around the behind. I lost all that, and I love the feeling of being that so super lean, but I don't like the look. I love the feeling, but I don't like the look.
Well, it just shows you how important resistance training is build the muscle and how catabolic sport is. See, you're expending energy, and that's a good thing, but you're not building muscle. You're using your body, and, of course, because in our age, our testosterone levels are lower, our growth hormone levels are not equal to what they were when we were, say, 10 or 20, right? So the loss of tissue is accelerated in the absence of load and resistance training.
I really noticed it. I tell you, I could see my skin, you know, was getting a little bit saggy. Oh, lovely. I just didn't like the look. Also, working like that, I wasn't cooking at night because I was working at night, so your diet gets a little bit off. My sleep was different. So it's a different, I just had to get used to the schedule, that's all. But going to the gym at least 3 times a week is absolutely mandatory and necessary, especially as you're aging too, right?
And it doesn't have to be a huge, long, worn-out workout. It's just a quick, fast, pump iron, focused workout.
In and out for me. My days of being in there, like for hours on end and chatting people up and all that are over. Well, for now in my life. I go in there for 45 minutes, I do my thing, and I get out. That's all I want to do. I basically want to get out.
Yeah, really. So if you really quantify the amount of time that you spend in the gym, let's say 45 minutes three times a week in addition to your dancing. It's not a huge commitment, but you get a lot done, and you prevent the loss of the bone density the muscle and the ligaments.
I didn't like the look, but I loved being lean. I loved that feel.
Well, and it looks a certain way with clothes on, right?
Yeah.
It's this thing. Women hide behind their clothes, and I guess men, too. Although
men do, too.
They don't seem to be as concerned. You know, they got these big, fat guts sticking out, and whereas women use fashion and clothing and all kinds of hidden devices underneath to tight. Remember we saw the Rifleman the other day, and that woman fainted because she was wearing that super tight corset?
Yeah. Well, now
back in the day, the women used to wear those corsets.
Now they've got Spanx. And a lot of those heavy women, they wear Spanx. Like Oprah, she wears about 10 pairs.
Yeah, you can't tell by looking at a woman today whether or not what you see is what you get.
No offense, Oprah.
Yeah. But
they got pads
stuffed inside, and they've got girdles and things that cinch them up. And I'm telling you, maybe it is an advantage to make love in the dark sometimes.
Yeah, ha, 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 ha. Also, my new favorite show is RuPaul's Drag Race, which is these men get dressed up as women, and they have to perform certain acts like lip sync. They have to, you know, do a show. But it's just amazing what they do to get ready. You know, they've got the fake boob bras, they've got the hips, you know, and it's just amazing what they do, how they're put together. And some of them look really good, really, really good. But that's the way some women are put together. Maybe not quite so much makeup and all, but there's a lot of things that you can do, and it's really an optical illusion, I'll tell you.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, we've been talking about the Corey Hawley Classic, which I'm going to use to redefine natural bodybuilding and bring in the original biological bodybuilding, which includes function as well as the look, the aesthetics, both, not just one like it is today. And women who are augmented will lose points. Just they can come into the competition.
Yes, absolutely.
Because we're not going to have any drug detection, because we know that that doesn't work. But what we are going to do is measure biomarkers in the blood, and everybody has to submit their blood to a lab depending upon where they are, and then submit that information, and you can run, but you can't hide. And so the biomarkers will elevate or drop in relation to your state of health.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not looking for drugs that we know people can mask and cover up. They do it in the Olympics. They do it at the highest levels of professional sport, right? So why do something when you know you can't catch the athletes? But this one is going to catch everyone off guard. And the other thing, of course, we're not going to allow is any of this artificial spray or cream tan crap, which is toxic and loaded and full of heavy metals. And this idea that I'm trying to get across here is that this is a natural show, and it's about being well and healthy.
And what you look like naturally. But we also will, which I really want to try to get, is when they're on stage, get some really good lighting that makes them look good under the light, not those white lights that wash you out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to really look for good lighting.
Well, if you get a nice tan under the sun and you use oil and you're chiseled and ripped and lean, you're going to look good under the good light.
Exactly. I mean, it's all about being natural and no high heels.
Right. Oh, no. We're not even going to go there. This is a bodybuilding event.
Yeah.
You know, even the fitness competitions are really hard on the system. You really have to philosophically look at sport and say, if that sport ruins the bodies of the athletes, then we have to throw out the sport.
Well, I mean, it's everything that you say. Is it sustainable? Can I do this for the rest of my life? Right?
That's right.
So, I mean, even when I look at dancing, I can still dance for the rest of my life, but I might not be able to do the competitions like I used to do with the kicks and the splits and the back bends, and I don't think I want to do that. I have this fantasy of doing it, but you know what? In reality, I don't think it's going to happen because it's not sustainable, but I can still dance.
Well, if you go to the gym and as a result of training you get inflamed and damaged, you can't walk away and say that training is bad. Usually the problem is nutrition.
Yes.
And the technique or the execution in the gym. The actual movement itself is in contrast to your physiology. It's not compatible with your body. So this is why there's a lot of variation available in the gym. You can use dumbbells instead of barbells. You can use cables and pulleys. You can figure out a way. But, you know, that's the other thing that I got a gripe with, too, is that I'm not seeing anybody or very few people lifting weights anymore.
Yeah.
You know, the traditional weightlifting, I mean, it's a gym. It's got weights in it. That's what you do. When you go in the gym, you lift the weights, right? But no one's doing it.
Well, yeah. I mean, people are doing it, but I guess maybe...
I'm talking about squats and deadlift and bench, the basic lifts, the cleans. You just don't see people doing the essential basic lifts anymore. You certainly don't see them doing it with intensity. Or you see guys squatting, they go three-quarters of the way down. Or they're deadlifting with their back leaned way over. You know, they're just setting themselves up for disaster.
Yeah, exactly. This execution of material, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a really good thing that's not being utilized correctly or applied in the right context. And so people are being taught that there's something wrong with traditional weightlifting, and they're wrong. There's something fantastic and right about it. I've been doing it for 43 years, and I'm going to keep doing it till the day I die. And it's working for me, and it seems to work for everyone else I know that's doing it right.
Well, what's interesting is, you know, I posted on Facebook that I was doing deadlifts, and then somebody made a comment about how deadlifts were treacherous for your back, and I'm going, not if they're done properly. How are you doing deadlifts? I mean, you just do it slowly. Just try to get into the motion of doing the deadlift first, then you add the weight on. But for sure, if somebody's been injured because they're doing it incorrectly, they're going to have a bad taste in their mouth, right?
Yeah. No, I'm still convinced that natural bodybuilding, performed correctly, done correctly in the gym, is incredibly safe, much, much safer than all the sports except for maybe chess or ping pong. But when you train correctly in the gym, when you warm up, when you understand what you're doing and why, and you do everything that you're supposed to do, you don't get injured. Actually, your performance and function improves, and that is the objective of the training. You take the value that you get in the gym, and you take it outside in real life, and that's where the value should be experienced.
Right. That's right.
Good stuff. Okay, so let's finish off with a brief mention of our conference. What's going on? That's coming up September the 29th.
We have all our speakers in for the conference, so we're pretty excited about that. It's going to be a really fantastic lineup, as per usual. So we're excited about that. We have Jason Watkin from Purica.
Yes, and Jason's title for his lecture is End Fatigue, Pain, and Stress. And that should be great to listen to him, because he formulated the product called Recovery, which is one of the best products you can take if you are in need of recovery.
And it is a very popular product.
Oh, definitely.
I'll tell you, everybody's got it in their store. And we go, like I said, we go in that store, we go into a health food store, and everybody's buying it.
Yeah.
Every time we go in, somebody's got a bottle in their hand. I'm going, wow, this is awesome.
Of course, Brad King will be coming back. He spoke last year. His lecture title is Regeneration, the Key to Ultimate Health and Longevity.
Yay,
and
Brad.
He is going to teach us how to create the ultimate regenerative program.
Great.
And then we've got Jason Scott, and he is Mr. Power Plate, you know, these vibrational devices, and he's going to teach us by showing us how it actually works. And his lecture title is Whole Body Vibration by Power Plate. And of course, my lecture is called The New Nutrition. I'm going to talk about the consciousness of health and wellness and how to create the desire inside of yourself to want to do the work, to want to get to the gym, to want to use intensity, and to bring the struggle with diet and nutrition to an end, so that when we do eat, we find joy and a lot of satisfaction in eating whole foods without having any desire to eat the garbage.
Right, because there's so many people that go on it and then go off. Go on the wagon, get off the wagon.
Well, you know, there's got to be emotional issues going on, because if you are not well and you have excess fat, you've got inflammation in your body, and you obviously don't look or feel well. Okay, so you move away from there, you get to the gym, you get some cardio, some stretching, some resistance training going on a regular basis. You change the diet, you get well hydrated, you start juicing, you're taking your vitamins, you feel wonderful.
Yeah, but Corey, the thing is,
everything's improving, why would they move away from that again? Why would they go back to the old life?
The thing is, they have to know who they are. You have to know who you are. It's like I've always said to people when they were at a buffet or somebody brings out something and I say, oh, I love that, but it doesn't love me. They really get that. Like, let's say a salami sandwich with lots of mayo and all that white bread, puffy bread, it's just in the margarine or whatever. It's like, oh, I could just go for one of those. But then it doesn't like me. I would really get bad problems if I ate something like that. And when I tell people that, then they get the fact that it doesn't agree with me. So I know what doesn't agree with me. But people continue to eat things that they know don't agree with them. So what they'll do is they'll take an antacid, they'll take something that will...
They don't want to give up the pleasure.
It's all about the pleasure.
And eating has become so profound in people's lives that it's dominating them.
To the point of killing themselves, they will continue to eat something that they know damn well is going to affect them.
You know what? It's no different than the smoker with lung cancer in the hospital who's in the oxygen tent and he can't wait to get outside and have a puff.
Yeah, exactly.
There's something wrong with that guy's head.
Yeah.
You know, he's dying as a result of smoking tobacco. He's got lung cancer as a result of smoking tobacco, and he can't wait to get out and smoke more tobacco.
Is that funny, huh?
So it's an emotional thing going on in his head, and that's what needs to be fixed. And in some cases...
What's habits? Just habitual behavior breaking.
Well, it's an attitude. It's a health consciousness. Once you decide you want something and you want to do it with passion, you will do it.
But the thing is, too... It's around us all the time. Like, if there were no cigarettes, if there was no alcohol, if there was no salami, if there was no chocolate, like, you know what I mean? If there was nothing, nobody would crave it.
Well, yesterday we watched the history of the dog and how humanity domesticated it as an extension of a tool. See, dogs and cats and animals are there for companionship for people, but originally they were used by men as tools specifically to help them survive, because they had certain qualities, like that the wolves were curious and they'd come up and watch the primitive men eating, and then they'd chew up the bones, that the men would make this pile of bones of scraps, and that's how the wolf connection started. And eventually, I guess, pups were found and they were brought in, and eventually domestication took hold and a relationship started. But we ourselves, like those dogs, have become domesticated.
That's right.
Humans today are domesticated humans.
We're trained on television. We're trained in the grocery store to eat this kind of stuff. And if it doesn't agree with you, take a Tums. Take a Philips Milk of Magnesia. That's all you have to do, and then you're going to be better. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And unlike the dogs, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I think it's a great gift that we have the ability to reason and think and counter what it is that we are doing. We can actually review, consider, conceptualize, analyze, conjecture, speculate, intellectualize on all these matters and actually come up with a better way. And the dogs can't do that. The dogs don't talk to us and say, hey, stop feeding me that crap out of the can.
Yeah.
They don't care. Just watch them wolf it down. I watch people wolf down food, refined food in restaurants, and they're acting just like dogs. They're not even thinking about what they're doing. They're just shoving it in for mere taste and gratification.
I know. That's right. And anyways, that's our CHI update, because we can go on and on about this.
No kidding.
Because, right? I mean, I can go on and on about it, too, because it's very interesting information. We'll have to talk. You'll have to do an update about that next.
Well, you know, where we're having the conference, there is a wonderful tropical lounge. So everybody out there who's listening, if you're coming to the conference, September 29th, Saturday, full day. But afterwards, let's go into the lounge and sit down and have some philosophical discussions. Okay, so what, dear, is your final word?
My final word is a Spanish proverb. The busy man is troubled with but one devil, the idle man by a thousand.